It is Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
A massive explosion in Beirut, Lebanon's port area, has killed over 70 people and injured hundreds more in the city. The cause of the explosion is still unclear. Meanwhile, some key primary races are heating up in this country. The one to watch is Rashida Tlaib's contest against her 2018 opponent, back for round two in the primary. And lastly, 13 college football players in one of the most competitive leagues in the country taking a bold stand against the powers pushing for unpaid athletes to put on a fall season without the right support.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
An enormous explosion rocked the city of Beirut, Lebanon on Tuesday evening, killing at least 78 people and injuring hundreds more. The explosion followed a raging fire and smaller blast in the city's port area, where Lebanese officials said explosive materials had been stored. It's unclear what the disaster's initial cause was. The blast was enormous, and its shockwave shattered windows and cracked walls miles away from the epicenter. The area around the port was ravaged, including several hospitals, which were so damaged they had to send their existing patients to other centers already overwhelmed by victims of the blast. The Lebanese government said the large cache of ammonium nitrate, chemical compound used to make both fertilizer and explosives, had been stored in the area for years after it was captured. The New York Times reported that an accidental detonation of a large quantity of ammonium nitrate was behind a similar explosion in Texas City, Texas in 1947 that killed 581 people. President Trump told reporters that his military leaders had, quote, seemed to think it was an attack, end quote, despite the fact that the Lebanese officials had not confirmed or even speculated that the blast was deliberate. Amidst everything we're going through, the U.S. still held primary elections on Tuesday, although with mail-in voting, we may not know the result for a few days. Some races are pivotal on a national scale. In Michigan, Representative Rashida Tlaib faces another primary against her 2018 opponent, Detroit City Council President Brenda Jones. Tlaib beat Jones by around 900 votes that year in 2018, but this year has the weight of the Democratic establishment on her side despite her outspoken stances on part of the House's young progressive caucus. In Missouri, meanwhile, Justice Democrats-backed activist Cori Bush is trying again to topple a 20-year incumbent, Representative William Lacey Clay. Clay has the party establishment's full backing, but has been sitting, making little waves on a safe House seat that he has effectively inherited when his father died. Bush lost in 2018 by 20 points, but she's trying to close the gap this year. Some of the Republican primaries are interesting as well. In Kansas, for instance, former Secretary of State Kris Kobach is trying to out-Trump his rivals in a contentious Senate primary. Mainstream Republicans are terrified of him winning because he's such a reviled figure that he might put what's usually a pretty safe seat in danger of going blue in the general. Again, mail-in voting means there may not be a quick or easy call to any of these races like we're used to. Trump has been railing against the practice for weeks, but abruptly changed his tune when he saw that he was in danger of losing the state of Florida, telling voters to request mail-in ballots and insisting that it was safe in that particular state. If his lies about election security are fooling anyone, it's pretty much their own fault at this point.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Across the country, resistance to Republican leaders and greedy college executives alike is coming from an unlikely group, Division I football players. 13 players from the Pac-12 Conference, one of the largest football leagues in the NCAA, announced on Tuesday that they would opt out of the coming season and refuse to play until their schools had addressed systemic failings in their coronavirus response. The Pac-12 protest is the latest in a series of developments where organized athletes are punching above their weight to put pressure on their schools and local governments. In Mississippi, Governor Tate Reeves announced that he would enact a statewide mask mandate, saying, quote, "I want to see college football. The best way for that to occur is for all of us to realize that wearing a mask, as irritating as that can be, and I promise I hate it more than anyone else, is critical," end quote. College football, the one power that can actually make conservatives hell-bent on sabotaging themselves, see sense. And remember, it's not just state governments that these players are up against. The Pac-12 protest is more about forcing schools to actually take care of their athletes' safety, especially considering, you know, that they aren't paid at all for their incredibly valuable labor. The season itself is completely up in air as schools face losing out on one of their biggest revenue drivers if the epidemic doesn't get under control in their states. Jaden Grant, a senior defensive back at Oregon State, did not mince words. Quote, "The people who are deciding whether we are going to play football are going to prioritize money over health and safety 10 times out of 10. Here's hoping that more players start to speak up and actually hold their schools and governments accountable. In an ideal world, they wouldn't have to, but sadly, that's where we're at.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
New York City's health commissioner resigned on Tuesday after a very public clash with the hapless mayor, Bill de Blasio, citing her, quote, "deep disappointment with the mayor's handling of the virus." Dr. Auxerius Barbo said that de Blasio had not used the city's, quote, "incomparable disease control expertise," end quote, well enough during the pandemic, which killed more than 20,000 residents. In a wild, bizarre, and shocking sideshow of an interview with Axios's John Swan, President Trump floundered hopelessly when confronted by facts on coronavirus, beefed with the late John Lewis, who, quote, "didn't attend my inauguration," end quote. His best moment came when he sputtered, quote, "you can't do that," after Swan directly refuted his bogus coronavirus claims. As schools reopen across the country, teachers have had enough. Small but widespread protests took place across the country as teachers used the hashtag #DemandSafeSchools to protest against in-person teaching. Coming school year spells almost certain suffering for students and teachers alike as the disease continues to ravage most of the country's states. And finally, the Republicans appear to be weakening in negotiations over the next coronavirus relief package. As Mitch McConnell said, he might be willing to accept an extension of the vital $600 per week unemployment insurance benefits if Democrats would compromise on other areas. Remains to be seen what the final bill would look like. But Congress and the American people are running out of time.
Quicker. Quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon on the Majority Report live at noon. Later, wherever your podcasts are served.